Thank you, Jake, and appreciate those that have prayed for me this past week, and we'll ask your prayers even further for this coming Tuesday as I take on the nursing home. And one time we sang one of these favorite songs at the nursing home, and I said, we had somebody helping us with singing. I said, you'll get a taste of heaven in the next song that's coming up. And we just had a taste of heaven. To our bountiful Father above, we will offer the tribute of praise for the glorious gift of his love. We just had a touch of heaven there. Thank you, John, for a beautiful song. And the blessings that hallow our days. Beautiful to sing, and the Lord loves a singing spirit. In wondering what to speak on, I was going through the creation story in the nursing home, and I was struck by the image, created in the image of God. And Dave Robbins touched on it last week in Romans 8, one of the last verses there. Now, the word image popped out there. At any rate, I'd like to read from Colossians 3, 1 to 10 to start. Starting at verse 1, if then you are raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds. And here's the verse I want to reflect on. Have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. There's the word, according to the image of him. And as we reflect this Father's Day, I've picked out portions of Scripture. And the bottom line is, do I agree with God's holy word? And we have the Holy Bible to us, and as I introduce the Bible to these people in the nursing home, many respect the Bible. Holy means sanctified. It means hallowed. And Bible, in the old language, meant writings. So we have these holy, hallowed writings. It is maybe the oldest book that is written that we have from 4,000 years, 6,000 years. And it is inspired by God, written by 40 authors, 1,600 years maybe, in around that. And we do take well to heed what the Holy Bible tells us. And I want to get back into creation and how that God is our loving Father. He made us in his image. And what an incredible privilege and responsibility it is to be a father. It makes me think of a loving Father and the care, God's care in creating Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. Just amazing. And the responsibility, too, of being a good father, a wise father. And basically, I want to look at God as our heavenly Father. So before we get going into that, let's commit this to the Lord in prayer. Father, I pray your help in opening your word, in thinking through these thoughts, and thank you for your creative power and all the amazing attributes we see in you. Lord, we just stand in awe at creation, at the sunset, even last night, just the beauty of creation you've created, and even of fathers, mothers, children, grandchildren, the beauties in offspring that we see. We just pray your blessing on this Father's Day for each of us. Thank you that you've given each of us a father, and that most of all, You've become our Heavenly Father through and in the Lord Jesus Christ. So pray your help, Father, now in Jesus' name. Amen. We read in John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. This is really something that goes back to the beginning again. And we're made in God's image. And in 1 Corinthians 15:49, it talks that we have been born the image of man, the man of dust, but we shall also be made in God's image. And to bear that image of the heavenly man. Let's turn to Genesis 1. And I want to do a creation overview. Starts in Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Well, some may ask, when was the beginning? Well, that's the answer right there. When the heavens and the earth were created. So you flip that around. And there's the answer, when was the beginning? When God created the heavens and the earth. And talking to one fellow recently, he says, well, how do you know the Bible's true? How do you know there's a God? And those are real questions. And we need to put a saving faith in this, the message of this book. That comes down to faith. God's invisible. Anyway, we'll get on to reading in verse 2 here. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, the Spirit of God hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, let there be light. There was light. And God saw the light that it was good, and God divided the light from darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. So first thing we have here is light and darkness, and we have this phrase, God divided that light from the darkness and saw that the light was good, there in verse 4. On to day 2. Then God, verse 6, then God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. I found this confusing or hard to comprehend, and I hope you can understand maybe a little bit better. But thus God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven. So the evening and the morning were the second day. So here we have a second time on the second day. First day God said, we have in the beginning was the Word. The Word. God's word. God spoke it. It happened. There it was, light. Well, we had verse 6. God said, let there be firmament. Well, this could mean it's the sky. It's the, we say, atmosphere, stratosphere. Anything above earth is included in this, firmament. So it's in the midst of the waters, and let it divide from the waters. Let it divide the waters from the waters. So the waters on the earth are divided from space. We look at the sky. And looking at this word firmament means expanse and Strong's. Look up the Strong's meaning to it. And it's almost to me like it's stretched out like clouds. And the word arch comes in the root word of it. So it's like I want a piece, like I'm a mechanic, and they take a piece of steel, 10-pound chunk of steel, and in a hot mill, in the mill, they can make that thing stretched out for hundreds of feet by pressing it through rolls. Well, this is that word expanse. It's stretched out and in an arch. And the neat part here is, and God called the firmament heaven. I don't know if your Bible has H as a capital, but in the beginning, in verse 1, it says God created the heavens, small letter, and the earth. Well, here the heaven in Strong's points out that's the abode of God when it's capitalized like that. And so the evening and the morning were the second day. Reading some Hebrew on this word firmament, comes to foundation. The earth, this is the foundation, and this is God's abode around the earth. A beautiful thought there. I don't know how that came in there, but that was part of Hebrew. At any rate, God makes the firmament, and he makes his abode the second day, heaven. Then God said, verse 9, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together in one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so, and God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters he called seas. And God saw it was good. So here again we have it was good. And verse 9, God said. It's God called, in verse 10, God called the dry land earth. Something happens here that separates earth from, so we get dry land appearing, earth and waters are separated. I was told one time, look at scripture and mind association or word association. And a couple times now we've had things are separated and it was good. God saw the light, it was good, and separated from the darkness. That was good. And then we see another layer, maybe possibly in the New Testament, of the tares. They're inseparable with the wheat, but there's coming a day that they will be. Well, that's just spiritualizing it, but we can take these thoughts further. Every story of the Old Testament and Moses is deeper meaning. Simply put, the Passover. What do we think of the Passover? When I see the blood, what's it referring to? When I see the blood, I will pass over you. When we apply the blood, that saving faith of Christ on us, that saving faith will save us, gives us eternal life. At any rate, let's go on. Then God said, let the earth bring forth grass, and the herb that yields seed, and the fruit seed tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth. And it was so. Again, here we have God's word. Then God said, verse 11, and we have this according to its kind. This pops up numerous times from now on. And the earth brought forth grass, the herb that yields seed according to its kind, and the tree that yields fruit, whose seed it is in itself, according to its kind. And again, and God saw that it was good. So the evening and the morning were the third day. So this is day 3. On to day 4. Then God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night. So here we have the sun and the moon. And let them be for signs and seasons and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth. And it was so. Then God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. So in the first verse, let there be light, there wasn't sun or moon yet. So there was light somehow without the sun and the moon in the first day there. Anyway, here we have in day 4, the sun and the moon, and there's a parallel. If you look the structure, day 1, 2, 3, and those that have listened in Sunday school, you'll see there's a parallel. The light of day 1 reflects on day 4 when the sun, moon, and stars were made. And each day 2 corresponds to day 5, day 3 corresponds to day 6. There's a pattern there. So we have the evening and the morning of the fourth day. Then God said, and again, the word of God, let the waters abound with an abundance of living creatures, and let the birds fly above the earth across the face of the firmament of the heavens. So God created great sea creatures and every living thing that moves, with which the waters abounded according to their kind, every winged bird according to its kind. God saw that it was good. Here we have that phrase again. It was good. And then what God says is, waters, you abound. And this is what we have. All the marine life. Incredible. They hadn't even fathomed yet what's all there. They're still discovering. When we were over in Papua on the land there, they discovered another frog. We had a SIL guy. He was a frogger. Wow. Oh, he was so excited. They discovered another frog in Papua. Wow. It's another species they had never seen before. Well, wow. Well, that's just one thing. And then God said, not only of the waters, but he says it later on again. So verse, and here we have the first time God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters in the seas and let the birds multiply on the earth. So the evening and the morning were the fifth day. And I won't go into association there, but when there's blessing, there's association. At any rate, the verse I'm thinking of is, how blessed are brethren when they dwell together in unity. Psalm 133, verse 1. There's association there. There's, like the dew on Mount Hermon, like the perfume on Aaron's beard, there's association there. So the evening and the morning were the fifth day. Now we come into the sixth day. Verse 24, then God said, let the earth bring forth the living creatures according to its kind, cattle and creeping things and beasts of the earth, each according to its kind. And it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth according to its kind, cattle according to its kind, everything that creeps on the earth according to its kind. God saw it was good. So here, day six, and we get into man as well. Just continued reading. Verse 26, and God said, let us make man in our image. Oh, the phrase has changed. It's not according to its kind. Now it's according to the image of God. Let us make man in our image according to our likeness. What likeness is that? Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. He created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And God said, see, I've given you every herb that yields seed, on which is on the face of all the earth, which and every tree whose fruit yields seed to you, it shall be for food. So that's our food, the herbs of the field and the fruit trees, fruit off the trees. Also to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, to everything that creeps on the earth in which there is life, I have given every green herb for food. So in the beginning, all the animals ate that for their food. It wasn't one animal eating another. Again, verse 31, then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed, it was very good. Now we get an adjective on, it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth, chapter 2, verse 1, and all the host of them were finished. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had done, and he rested the seventh day from all his work which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it. Here we have this word sanctified, this word holy we have on our Holy Bible. Sabbath, the word there rested, the root that comes there is Sabbath. So that's how we get the word Sabbath. Later the Jews, that was their Sabbath day, the seventh day. Well, the seventh day is sanctified and it's rested. Well, sanctified, here's the allegory, or like the first light comes from above to earth. Here we have the Sabbath, there's holy, and there's rest. When we are made holy in Christ, there is rest. Have you found that rest? I pray that you, on Father's Day, if you haven't had that rest, you'd find that rest. That's only in agreeing with God. Back to that first phrase, do I agree with God about the message that he has in his holy book, in his holy writings? Chapter 2, verse going on, with the Sabbath, he rested from all his work which God had created. And the idea there was completed. It's like not like a project that I get into or we're doing flower bed now and, oh, we got to change this one thing just around a little bit because it's been such a lush spring. Everything's exploded and it's too big now. Well, we got to get this big plant out of there because it's just crowding this other one over. Well, no, God wasn't like that. It was done. And this, in my mind, where does it all go wrong? Well, we get into life in the Garden of Eden. We'll continue here. This is the history, verse 4, of the heavens and the earth, which were when they were created in the day that God, the Lord God, made the earth and the heavens. And verse 7, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. And we read a verse like that earlier on in 1 Corinthians 15. I'll stop and pause there because here Adam and Eve were in a perfect environment. And as we get into chapter 2, there's two trees. There's two choices. We have one choice or the other. Adam and Eve had the choice, the tree of life or the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And somehow, Satan subtly tempted Eve to take of that fruit. And we know of the fall into sin. And everyone of us are born in that camp. And this is something, growing up, I did not realize. I was born in darkness. And that's not good. And I tried and tried to please God, tried to obey my parents, went to Sunday school, and do all the right things. And there was no pleasing God. There was no assurance of salvation. And as I expressed before, Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it is impossible to please God. Well, here, what part all happened when God created man in his image? What all fell? And I was just trying to wrestle through this. And God created man and woman superior to the animals. So I'll get into the image of God. So after he creates all creation, the glory of creation, he puts man into it. Well, now we have the glory, which is the Lord Jesus, who we celebrated. And such a joy to come celebrate that one at the Lord's table. God created man and woman superior to animals. And what does that mean that we're created in God's image? And as I referred to, it says 8 times before this, all these things there before, the fruit trees, they're all according to its kind. Now we read of how we are created according to our likeness, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Well, it's obviously not referring to man's body, our body, my physical body, being like God's, because God is spirit. We read in John 4, at the woman at the well, the Samaritan, that those that come to God must worship him in spirit and truth. So God is spirit, and it's invisible. I was thinking about bringing a mirror, but when you see children from a family and, oh, wow, say, for instance, two daughters are married into Cranebrink family. Oh, is that ever a Cranebrink likeness? Like, you just see that. Well, what is our God likeness like? Well, it's referring to that part of the man that's not seen. And the Bible calls that our soul and our spirit. So the soul and the spirit of man were created in God's image, setting man apart from the animal world. So there's 3 things I want to delve into. God gave man a mind which he could think and reason. God thinks and reasons. God wanted man to be this way. With the mind, man can understand what God communicates. We read Enoch, he walked and talked with God. We read God fellowshiped with Adam and Eve in the garden at the cool of the day. Why would God want to communicate with man? So man could have the capacity to understand his purposes and be able to respond willingly, intelligently to him. Yet our wisest thoughts, his ways are much higher than our ways, our wisest is as foolishness to God. But some are very wise. But anyway, this is not being about being wise enough for communicating or communing with God. Ultimately, it's God, our Father. But our choice so that man could understand God's purposes. And we read that in the Holy Book, in the Holy Bible. And it's up to us how we respond. And then be intelligently able to respond to him and to what we understand. God, second point. So the first point was a mind. The second is emotions. God gave man emotions. God also has emotions. We read in Scripture how God has emotion. He loves, he hates, feels sadness, joy. He created man with emotions as well. Every one of us has days or ups or downs or sad or glad. That's how God made us. Why was that so? So that man could be able to feel pleasure, have contentment, peace, and rest, ultimately his rest. As well, we can respond emotionally to God as we understand him more and more. As the children grow up, what is it that you'd like to receive back from your children? Well, for them to love you back. That is so key. Third point, we have the mind with emotions, and then the last one is the will. God has will. He makes decision and choices. In creation, we see that God decided what to create. When you opened your fridge this morning or took out some food, did the food tell you this is what you had to eat? No, you chose what. Well, God made a choice what to decide to create and how to create this world and how to put man into it. Or your clothes in your closet, they talk to you and say, oh, put this one on. No, you got to put this one on. No, you chose, bought those items in the store, put them in your closet so that you could wear them. Anyway, inanimate objects do not tell you right what decisions to make. They simply are controlled by us. If we had been like those clothes and objects like that, we would not be able to, we'd be just like robots. Well, God didn't make us like robots, and he valued us. I want to read Psalm 8, and some of you know that. What is man that thou art mindful of him? And we'll read the entire psalm. It's 9 verses, starting at verse 1. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth, who have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have ordained strength because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visited him? For you have made him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and honor. You have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, even the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, and the fish of the sea that pass through the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. And the point was that we are valued by God. How is that so? It's an amazing thought. And so back to what does it mean to be made in the image of God? And that, first off, man was given a mind that he could understand what God wanted to communicate to him. The intelligence to think through what God said. The ability to learn about his attributes. The beauty of creation, seeing the story of creation, we see so many attributes of God. We see omnipotent, the all-powerful God. We see his omnipresence. We see his omniscience. He's all-knowing. We see God is sovereign. He is our creator. And if I make, say, a sailboat or something, I'm in control of that sailboat. And if it's scrapped, well, then I put it away. Well, it's my choice to do what I want with it. Well, it's God's choice. God is our creator. And he's our sovereign God, Lord. Do I have any idea of that? I'm afraid I don't. Just scratching the surface here. So we get the ability to learn about the attributes of his character and then be able to communicate with him. So that's the mind. We're given a mind to understand that. Then we're given the emotions that we'd be able to respond to God out of love. How do I respond when I realize I owed a debt I could not pay? Christ paid a debt he did not owe. And then the third point, man was given a will so he could carry out to God's will on earth. Not as a robot, as mentioned, but as one that would listen to God, appreciate and love him, and choose that will. Choose to obey. So man was created rational, moral, and spiritual being since he was created in the image of God. So here we have this phrase, man was created in the first man there, Adam and Eve, were created in the image of God. It says God blessed them. And Adam and Eve were to be the managers over the entire creation. Both male and female, he created them, and to be fruitful and multiply. Well, then we get into the seventh day and entering the rest. And I want to spend some time on spiritualizing this. I already talked about day seven, how that was the Sabbath. How do we enter the rest God has made for us? And how are we sanctified in God's eyes? Just want to dwell a bit on, in Genesis 3, we had the fall, and that by eating of this fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, there were two trees there. They didn't pick the other tree. And there's only one choice that can be made. You and I have one choice that can be made. I agree with God or rebel to him. And in the New Testament, according to the Bible, if I rebel to God, there's the curse of hell, of eternal darkness. If I choose to obey, agree with God, there's eternal life. Eternal life. And not that we have a life of bed and, like a bed of roses, but joy that he gives us in John 17 talks about the thrill, that the joy in verse 13 that we can have in the Lord. Turning to a couple of verses in, these are familiar verses, but I'd like to just go over them. Ephesians 2, 1 and 2. That you have been made alive. Well, what happened to us? Well, we died. We're born in Adam, and we're born, as it were, in darkness, dead to God in Adam. Ephesians 2, verse 1. And you, he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. We can all identify with this. And if you haven't identified that you once walked according to the course of this world, you're not likely saved. And if you think that, never had this thought of, I was once in darkness, take a look at what these verses are saying. According to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath. This is how we're born. We're born into this world by nature, children of wrath, just as others. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us. It just a beautiful thing. I ended up being in tribe alone one time, and I was into the Epistle of John, and John is my favorite book in the New Testament, and the Epistle is likewise of John. And I got caught up in 1 John 4, and just the beauty of God's love overwhelmed me. Just, I was there by myself for 2 weeks. I was living in a house that was vacated. There was neighbors, and I could eat there once a day for a meal. But just taken up in the Word of God, and just behooves me all the time to get back to taken up in the Word of God, in His love, in Him. Then on to, we're made alive. I want to read also 2 Corinthians 5:21, for He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteous God in Him. Are we that righteousness of God? That verse is quoted this morning. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. When God looks at you, He's looking through Jesus Christ, not past Him. He's looking in you, at you, in Jesus Christ. This verse, He did it all for us. There's nothing I could do for this. He made Him who knew no sin, that's Jesus, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. Are we those sons and daughters on this Father's Day that, behold, this is my beloved Son and daughter in whom I am well pleased? Philippians talks about the fragrance of our lives, and that's for near the end of the chapter, talks about, and we lived in that too. Like Paul says, your gifts, I didn't have a worry whether my rent was paid on the house or not. The gifts from the believers here supplied us all these years. 22 years that we were in the mission, that we didn't have this worry of finance. There were tight times, yes. And there was, budgeting. Yet, there's that beauty of that fragrance that went up from your lives for that offering. Well, is God seeing you as a son and daughter, that beautiful fragrance, like He saw His Son? Well, in Jesus, He's seeing you. Are you standing there? Are you standing behind the Lord Jesus, agreeing with God on His Word? And then finally get to 1 Corinthians here, 15. The few verses on the end of the chapter there, heading my Bible earlier on, says the glorious body. It talks about our natural body. Verse 44 there is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There's a natural body. There is a spiritual body. I want to break in at 45 there. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam, that's the Lord Jesus Christ, became a life giving spirit. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. Though you're dead, that you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall live. That's not quite right. John 11:25. However, verse 46, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, and afterward the spiritual. The first man was of the earth. That's Adam. He was made of dust. And the second man is the Lord from heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ. That verse 48, and as was the man of dust, so also are those who are made of dust. And as is the heavenly man, so also are those who are heavenly. So the man of dust, he died. He went back to dust. But the heavenly man, the Lord Jesus Christ, he gives eternal life. And verse 49, and as we have borne the image of man, of dust, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man. And it's so important to me that you know this without a doubt in your mind, that you've been changed into this image that Scripture is talking about. One more verse in Colossians 3. like to refer to, I've received the Lord, my living in the newness, my being renewed. And to me, this is a constant challenge every day. And Ephesians 6, put on the whole armor of God. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, verse 10. And on it goes, well, for living, Ephesians 4 to 6. We can be living in speaking gracious words. Corinthians talks about living like that song we had at the start there, in a singing spirit. But Colossians 3:10 talks about the act of the will here. And have put on the new man who is renewed. Well, this put on, it speaks of in Galatians or Ephesians 6, different times, clothe yourself. This is put on the breastplate. All these different armors, you and I, we have to have the act of the will to put them on. It's your choice whether you're going to follow the Lord in putting on this new way of thinking, this new way of living. Or, as mentioned last week, to be living carnal and following the flesh. Well, there's no more miserable life than once a person's received eternal life and enjoyed forgiveness of sins and then lives in the flesh. That's total misery. The man in the jungle, he doesn't know any better that he's living wrong. But once you know better, you're in total misery. And I just pray that there'd be none of us that are living like these verses that were before in verse 8. Now, you yourselves are to put off all these. So these are things that we wrestle with. First off, in my life too, anger. Do I get upset at that other driver? Oh, yes, I do. He cut me off. Or I just about hit him because he wasn't watching out for traffic. That leads into wrath or malice. Boy, do I want to get even with him or what? Like, no, I shouldn't. But then there's blasphemy or filthy language. Like, there's so many things that we need to put off and, in contrast, put on the new man. I would like to close with that and sing a song as a prayer. Number 376, Out of My Bondage, Sorrow Night. And there's a message there, Into Thy Freedom, Gladness, and Light. And then, Out of My Sickness, Into Thy Health, Out of My Want, Into Thy Wealth. Out of My Sin, and Into Thyself, Jesus, I Come to Thee. Number 376 in the Red Books. Let's close in prayer. Oh, Father, we just thank you for your provision of forgiveness of sin, of coming back to you, that we can call you our Father, as in Galatians there, crying out, Abba, Father, and that we can be made children of you. And Father, I pray your help for anyone that doesn't have this gladness, this freedom, this beauty of rest that your word speaks of. Pray that it would come to you this day and settle it, put their saving faith in you. I pray your help, Father, for that we can live this prayer out in our lives, that we can come out of our bondage of whether what rules to live by or what things that are hampering us, whether it be in materialism or in whatever way it is, Father, that we can be renewed and refreshed in you. I pray your help in being renewed and putting on that new man, that we would be reflecting that image of Christ, that one that you call, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. We thank you and praise you for the beauties and the glory of that one. And so help us to live this week for you, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.